Well, anyways, let me give you a picture. This guy that is like this expert fisherman has all these videos on catching fish. He has his son. He must be like 4 years old, you know? And he has his son trying to fish. And the son, it's so funny. You're like, I want to see it. Maybe next week, all right? And so he's reeling in the fish, and the fish is pulling. You know what he does? He just drops the fishing rod, and it goes in the water. Then he picks it up. He's like, ah! Then he's laying on the ground. He's like, nah! It's just so funny. And you're like, I want to see it. Maybe next week. All right. And so, but it just reminds me here, guys, that sometimes... you know, sometimes we don't feel like catching fish. We get excited about it, or for a little bit we do, but then we drop the fish once it starts pulling, or we go, ah! a lot of times we can act like kids when it comes to reaching the lost and being evangelistic. And even sometimes when we hear the word evangelistic, we're like, oh no, I gotta be this crazy preacher. I gotta be loud and in your face. No, that's not how we have to do evangelism. That's not every area of evangelism isn't somebody getting on a speaker and shouting really loud. Right? Evangelism can be creative. Evangelism can be friendship evangelism. There is so many ways that we can fish, right? And today, our story involves fishing. And you're like, big surprise. But it also involves sometimes putting your foot in your mouth, all right? Sometimes it involves putting your foot in your mouth. It involves fishing, this sermon we're going to go into in this passage. It involves money. And someone puts their foot in their mouth, and Jesus, through miraculous intervention, gets them out of a jam. He solves this foot in the mouth problem with a coin in the mouth answer. I think that's worth repeating. He solves this foot-in-the-mouth problem with a coin-in-the-mouth answer. The coin is found in the mouth of a fish, and it's enough to pay the debt for Peter and for Jesus. How many of us have said the wrong thing when we have the intentions of saying the right thing? Right? Everybody should be raising their hand, okay? Again, we want to say the right thing. We say the wrong thing. How many of us need a miracle and have an emergency because of sometimes our bad choices, right? I mean, there are some times where people will come up to you and go, it's an emergency. And you go, no, it's really bad planning. Because if you had made the right plans, you wouldn't be in the situation that you're in. But because you didn't make the right choices, you're here. We've been all there in some way, shape, or form. And our fishing story begins and speaks on all of this today. It begins in Matthew 17. And it says, when they came to Capernaum, the collectors of the 2 drachma tax went up to Peter and said, does your teacher not pay the tax? Or we would say the temple tax. And he said, yes. And when he came into the house, Jesus spoke to him first, saying, what do you think, Simon? From whom do kings of the earth take toll or tax? From their sons or from others? And when he said, from others, Jesus said to him, then the sons are free. However, not to give offense to them, go to the sea and cast a hook and take the first fish that comes up. And when you open its mouth, you will find a shekel. Take that and give it to them to pay for me and for yourself. We have to understand right from the get-go that this wasn't a Roman persecution thing, okay? We get Roman taxation. We get that they were way overtaxed, right? We get that Matthew, who even writes this gospel, was a tax collector, and he knew when to add on so he could put some more money in his pocket, right? But this is not that. This is it's actually a tax to help with the building fund of the temple, okay? It was the upkeep of the temple, and we see this It's right here in Exodus 30, verse 31. This is what everyone who is numbered shall give, half a shekel according to the shekel of the sanctuary, half a shekel as a contribution to the Lord. It was an annual expense every Jew gave to support the temple. The 2-drachma piece was approximately equal in value to the half shekel collected. So we have Peter thinking he's going to tell Jesus what needs to be done. You ever go to your boss and you think, man, I'm going to solve a problem we got going on, right? So, hey, boss, I just want to tell you, I've got the answer. By the way, we haven't been doing this, and we need to, and I've got an answer. We need to pay this tax. Peter doesn't get a chance to say that. But Jesus, he begins the conversation. He starts the conversation, and he asks Peter his opinion on the subject. And it's going to be as a teaching device, right? Jesus asks questions to teach us. Jesus loves asking questions to get us on the right track. And Peter knows that king's tax, the people over whom they have authority, they're the one that pay the tax, not the family. Wouldn't it be funny, boys and girls, wouldn't it be funny if your parents said, okay, every time you go in the living room to watch TV, you've got to pay a daddy tax. You got to give me a dollar. Every time you go into this one room of the house to watch TV, you're going to give me a dollar. Wouldn't that be crazy, right? Because all the rooms in your house, you can go, right? You can go to those rooms. Probably not mommy and daddy's room, right? That's probably off limits. But anyways, in general, you can go in the living room, the dining room, the kitchen, and you don't get a daddy tax, right? But it's funny because my family, we joke around, right? Because if they have something yummy that they have in their hand, I go, all right, hand it over. Not all the time, but I'll take a bite out of it. And they're like, Dad, that's mine. And I go, that's a daddy tax. And they laugh, you know, they laugh. But and I don't do it all the time. You're like, you're constantly taking from your children. No, I don't do that. Okay. But wouldn't that be funny, guys? Well, there's no daddy tax here at the temple. There's no daddy tax here at the temple. But Jesus puts it in kingdom language. From who do the kings of the earth take toll or tax? From their sons or from others? So who do you guys think, right? If you guys have been listening to the story, right? Who pays tax? The sons or others? You got 50-50. Others. Can I hear that from everybody? Others, right? Not the sons. The sons are exempt from that. They don't have to pay the daddy tax, right? He's the son of God, and he doesn't need to pay some little tax. Now, Stephen, in Acts chapter 7, I think this really gives some great perspective. Stephen was talking about the temple, and he says this, yet the Most High doesn't dwell in houses. Can we kind of make a house? You got to make the sides, right? And you make the roof, right? So here's the house, right? And he says, the Most High doesn't dwell in the houses made by hands, as the prophet said. Heaven is my throne. Can everybody say, heaven is my throne? And the earth is my footstool. Any of you guys, if you have a footstool at home where you put your feet up on, raise your hand. Right? We have a footstool, right? The footstool is pretty small, right? You imagine God is sitting in this big high throne chair that's magnanimous, it's huge, and then he puts his feet. That's the earth. That's the earth. God is so big and so strong and so mighty, right? There's nothing my God cannot do, right? The earth is his footstool. But he says, even though the earth is so small to me, it's so minuscule to me, he says, even what kind of house will you build for me, says the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Did not my hand make all these things? You're trying to give me something. Say I gave this fishing pole as a gift to Gabby, right? I have this gift and I go, Gabby, here, you can have this fishing pole. And then it's Christmas time and she's, Daddy, I got you something really special. I mean, I had to spend a lot of money. I saved up every penny and I got you this. You're like, what? You didn't save up anything. I gave that to you. You just repackaged it and put a bow on it. Oh, you colored on it too. I gave this to you. God is saying that about the temple. He said, I made this earth. I made everything. And I appreciate you trying to show affection and love towards me. And God will echo that to David. He will echo that to Solomon, right? But again, earth is his footstool. God allowed Solomon to build the temple. So why did he allow Solomon to build the temple? It's kind of like this. Guys, why do I have this? Why do I have this? Why do I have this? So I can do what with people? I know. I like it small so I can fit it in my pocket. Those big ones, I'm like, whoa, I think you have to have like a huge cage here to bring it with me. I don't know. I like it small. And so it's to connect with people, right? We have phones so we can connect with others, even if they're so far away, right? I can pick up the phone and I can connect with you and I connect through my phone, right? Well, God built the temple and it's like a big phone booth. It was a connection point to us that he allowed them to build the temple because it was a connection point to us. Jesus is the Son of God, and there are times then what do we do? There are times where we put our foot in our mouth. We think we're right, and we are completely wrong. Listen, a friend of mine was working at a furniture store, and we were working together. At one time, I sold furniture a couple times, actually. And Ray was the nicest guy, man. He was the sweetest guy, and Ray was so great at connecting with people. And so he told me a story, though, because I told him, Ray, you're just so great at connecting with people. I really appreciate you. You're always so happy. You're always so joyful. He's a strong Christian in the Lord. And he said, well, let me tell you. He said, I was in a furniture store, and I saw this lady, and she was by, like, kids' furniture. And, you know, he saw, like, you know, she's on the nest, right? And he thought such the greatest connection, you know. Such a sweet young lady. And she was walking around the children's furniture. She just had a glow about her. And he said, oh, so when are you due? And she goes, I'm not. And he was shrinking away. And he's like, hey, friend, can you take care of that customer? Because I'm turning three shades of red, right? You never ask, when are you due, right? That's not a good idea, right? Let them talk about pregnancy, okay? don't say, when are you due? And again, I bring this up because Peter thinks he's right. He thinks he sees the kids' furniture. He thinks he sees a little belly bump that is supposed to be a baby, right? He thinks he's got everything right, and he's altogether wrong. And Jesus corrects him. He corrects him. And Jesus had no need to pay the temple tax for himself. He was exempt. But unlike the scowling young lady who is offended and hurt by the misunderstanding, Jesus will go above and beyond. And I think that says something of us, huh? When we get offended, how many know that we sometimes are quick to get offended? And we're quick to hold a grudge. And we're quick to go, oh, I can't believe that they said that about us or said this thing. And we scowl off. But what did Jesus do when he basically is like, you're slapping me in the face saying I'm not the Son of God? Like, the king's kids don't pay. I'm the Son of God. Jesus doesn't react that way. Jesus will go above and beyond to help Peter while he's also correcting him for the future. We need that. Listen, kids, teens, we as parents want to help you when you get yourself in trouble, when you go the wrong way and do something maybe you shouldn't have done. But what we're going to do, and this is kind of a teaching point for parents too, is that we're going to correct, but we're also going to have you learn through your action. This is not penance. This is not wearing a 500-pound load that we were never meant to bear because we did a thing that really offended our mom or dad. This is, I'm going to forgive you and I'm verbally going to lavish that forgiveness and love on you, but then I'm going to have you do an action that's going to help you to remember to not go in that direction again. Right? Good parenting, right? Helping us so that we remember the sting of the sin that went on and we don't go that way. So Jesus asked Peter to do something that I believe was unfamiliar. He said, go to the sea and cast a hook and take the fish that comes up. Now you may be saying, listen, Pastor, Peter was a fisherman. But what's really interesting is in my study, this is the only time in the New Testament that the Bible will talk about a fish hook. You see, he asked Peter to do something different than he had done before. Peter was used to using nets to catch fish, much bigger than this, right? But he would use nets to catch fish. And Jesus said, I want you to use a different tool. I don't want you to use what you're always accustomed to using. I want you to get a fish hook. God will call you to do different things in your ministry and in your life and reaching out to others. And sometimes he's going to ask you to put away what you feel confident in and do something different. If you want new results, you have to do things a new way, right? We want to use the same old results or the same old tactics to get new results. And that's not the way God works. Sometimes he calls us to put down our nets so we can pick up our fish hook. And you're like, man, I knew I was fishing, right? No, I'm not saying that. It doesn't mean that fishermen don't usually use this. But then Jesus tells them, right? He tells them to go fishing. He tells them to go fishing. And he tells them the first fish that you grab is going to have money in it. Wouldn't that be cool, guys? Wouldn't it be cool to go fishing and find money in the fish? You open up the fish mouth and go, whoa, baby, there it is, right? And so I'm shifting here a little bit, though, from parent training. Why did Jesus ask Peter to do this? He said, however, not to give offense to them, go to the sea. Jesus doesn't want to offend the one who doesn't get that he's the Son of God. And he shouldn't have to pay the tax. A lot of times when somebody offends us, we say, forget relationship with you. We turn our backs on them. Jesus says, listen, I don't want this temple tax to keep them from me. These people that collect the tax. So to not offend them, Peter, go fishing. And I'm going to provide a miracle. Listen, we offend people by our Christianity, and it's not because we're standing up for Jesus. Many a times, the only thing that should offend the lost here at Mitchell Assembly is the cross. Now, again, we do need to stand up for what's right, but what mountain are you willing to die on? Are you willing to die on the mountain of politics? Are you willing to die on the mountain of clothing? Are you willing to die on the mountain of you fill in the blank? We need to be reaching people, and we need to be careful. Some of the most offensive people that you can meet are Christians. And that's sad. Because we say, don't taste, don't touch. Listen, before that person becomes a Christian, they're not going to look like a Christian, right? I expect as Christians that we would watch our mouths. I would expect that we do not have foreign objects come out of our mouth. No. But we wouldn't have obscenities come out of our mouth because it's foreign to God, right? But I'm calling you as a Christian to step up higher, right? To the person that doesn't know Jesus, that doesn't have a relationship with Christ, that doesn't know the love of God, for me to go, I can't believe that you just said the blank word. I can't believe that. I'm a Christian. Well, they don't operate by the same manual you do. Right? Now, I get, listen, my kids are around. We were eating lunch and these kids start dropping bombs, okay? And I go, listen, there's kids here. Could you not say that in front of my children? I really, because you know what? It doesn't mean you can't shed a little salt in the situation. It doesn't mean you can't call people to a little bit more professionalism sometimes. But again, what are you trying to do? Well, I'm trying to guard my kids' ears, because be careful, little ears, what they hear. Because what they hear, they pick up and they copy, right? So I want to guard their ears. I want to help them guard their hearts, right? That's the purpose in me doing that. But there are times where we get like, we want to wave the Christian flag and say, you need to do this. Well, have you come to Christ yet, right? I can't expect that of you yet, right? And so let the cross offend, right? When people walk in our doors, I think Mitchell Assembly does a bang-up job on loving people. I really appreciate you guys. Because you do, you come alongside of people, you smile at them, you're kind to them, you reach out to them. I love that, and we need to continue to do that and continue to be that. Let's not get caught up in preferences and let those get in the way of people hearing a clear gospel, even if we're right. Jesus was doing everything he could to not hinder the weaker individual. Now, the Pharisee that was supposed to get it, Jesus was rough on. He was a little strong with. But the one that, the sinners, the tax collectors, those, you didn't hear him rebuking them a lot. You heard him teaching them. You heard him guiding them. You heard him forgiving them, right? So really awesome things to think about. You know, in marriage, sometimes I like to be right. It's a fault of mine. I like to be right, but you know what? Sometimes I say, well, I try to say frequently, I'm sorry. And I also like to say, you're right. You're right, Natalie. You're right. We need that in relationship, because you know what? I don't always have to win the battle, because you know what the war is? The war is my long-term successful marriage. So many times we want to win a little piddly argument that equates to a little temple tax. And instead of winning the argument, we need to win the whole war, which is relationship staying strong. And I don't need to die on this mountain. And our relationship doesn't need to die on this mountain. So I'm willing to fight for our relationship by gritting my teeth and smiling and saying, yes, honey. Yes, dear. Right? Because what? I'm in it for the big picture. I'm in it for the big picture. And that's the way that relationships can be healthy. Jesus has Peter pay the tax in order not to offend. He takes the higher road, even though Jesus has every right not to pay the daddy tax. And I love this about Jesus. I love it. Now, this is for the kids. How cool would it be to go fishing and the first fish you catch has a coin inside, has some kind of prize inside, right? Not only that, but Jesus said, go fish and it's going to happen. I promise you that you're going to catch a fish, and I promise you this is what he prophesies it, right? So I want I want at least four kids to quickly come up here. Raise your hand first, four kids. All right, one, two, three. Riley, back, four, come on up. All right, so I want you guys to come on up, okay? And you guys are going to grab some fishing poles, okay? There's a fishing pole for everybody here. Now, guys, come around so everybody can see you. There's a fishing pole for everybody, okay? And this is Lake Galilee, all right? Sometimes we get our bait tied up. All right, so you guys are going to come over here, okay? And they're going to go fishing, okay? The odds are they're going to catch a fish, because this is stockpiled with fish, all right? So they catch one. Let's see, pull it on up and hand it to me when you've got your fish. Yeah. Riley, you got one. Boom, boom. These guys are working on it. Two more kids can come on up. Two more kids that want to participate can come on up. All right, you guys don't leave, though. You guys stay up here. Come on up, guys. Come on back up. All right. Fish for men there, or fish for a fish, really, in this instance, okay? So we got four fish. Riley, you can stand right here. Dylan, stand right here. Okay. All right, great job. Does anybody else want to fish? Last kid opportunity to go fishing. Oh, caught a fish. Now, the cool thing about this, all right, can you guys give a hand for them, cheer them on as they're fishing here? Can you catch that one right there? You've already got one. Awesome. Catch a fish here. Now, what's cool about going fishing at Mitchell Assembly is that you catch a big fish, right? And the fish has a coin, if you will. It's a prize, okay? So we have fidget spinners in here, and then there's also a piece of candy on the bottom. So, again, you can grab a spinner, or you can grab a candy on the bottom. Blue, red, and black. That's what I got. All right. Can you guys give them a hand for participating? Awesome. Here you go. Awesome. Awesome. So cool. Awesome. You like the blue? Is that good? All right. All right. Awesome. You know, it's so cool because Peter, this is what he does, right? He goes fishing. You're welcome. Awesome. Awesome. And he catches this fish. Like, we fish because Jesus had something amazing that happened in history. That he came and lived a sinless life, died and rose again from the grave. He came back to life. And he died for the punishment for our sin, everything that we've done wrong. And when he rose from the dead, we can't help to tell what we've seen and what we have heard. And this is what the disciples said. This is what I'm saying, okay? You guys got to hold it quietly, okay? It's a historical fact. And not only that, the one who says, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool, this same God has made a home in us. He has done amazing things in your life, and he's done amazing things in my life to show that he's real and that he cares intimately. But you know how I talked about how we get filled up, but sometimes we put the cap on it? We have these awesome experiences at church, and then we cap it. And our society says, don't talk about it for the next week. I don't want to hear about your religion. I don't want to hear about you trying to sell me on Jesus. We don't fish because we're trying to sell somebody something. We fish because there's been such an amazing thing that's happened in us that we want to then share it with others, right? Priscilla shared with me, we prayed on the phone and she was in pain. And after we prayed, she hasn't felt pain since. Hey, amen. You want to give a praise to God for that? That's the Lord. And that is us praying for one another, practicing, and then Priscilla telling that to, say, a friend, right? That doesn't know Jesus, that doesn't serve Jesus at this time. Or you say, you know what, in church, this is what God did. It was so cool. We want to not close the cap on Sunday afternoons. Wow, that was a great sermon, or that was great worship, or the Lord really touched me when I got prayed over. Oh, I got that. It's on my shelf over here. We do that with the Bible sometimes, right? We'll pull open the Bible when pastor has it up on the screen, or you know, you get your Bible out in service, but I really haven't looked at this the rest of the week. This goes on the shelf along with the anointing oil. We don't practically do that, right? We have all intentions of really diving into God's word during the week. We have all intentions of really sharing with people, but the busyness of life sometimes closes that real tight shut. Or I'm afraid to share with my friend, that closes it tight. Or are they going to think that I'm, you know, not cool if I share this or share that? Is it going to make an uncomfortable situation? I'm going to keep this closed tight. But Jesus says, I've called you to fish, and fishermen fish. That's what we're called to do. This is just another scripture about Romans. It says, Romans 14:13, determine this, not to put an obstacle or a stumbling block in a brother's way. And there's the example of the coin in the mouth of the fish. What I love about this, guys, and we're going to be coming to communion so our ushers can begin to come forward, is this miracle didn't just pay the temple tax for Jesus. Who else did it pay for? For Peter. For Peter. So Jesus, he goes out of his way not only to pay his tax that he doesn't even need to pay, but then he goes on to pay our tax. And like communion that we're going to take today as a family of God, as families together, God not only paid our tax, but he paid for all of our sin, right? On the cross. And if everybody can hold the elements, again, you don't have to be a member here to take communion with us. We just ask that you're a believer in Jesus. And we ask you to hold the elements till we can take it together. But Jesus, he paid Peter's tax. And he did it miraculously. He did it supernaturally. He did it with a coin in the mouth of the first fish that he caught. Jesus prophesied it, and then it happened. And we're reminded with a fish that you usually cook up and eat. We're reminded with bread and grape juice. Simple elements, but that represent so much. So as the communion is being passed out, maybe you're here and you have not recommitted your life to Christ, or maybe you need to commit for the first time to Jesus, that he's fishing for you, that the Holy Spirit wants you to be caught up in him, and he loves you, and he has a plan for you, and he doesn't correct like man corrects, scold you, and leave you alone, right? He, even in the midst of our sin, wants to bring us in, wants to teach us, wants to guide us, wants to lead us. And so, would you bow your heads with me? If you need to recommit your life to Christ, you just need to make it right before him and you want me to pray with you, I'd love to pray with you. And so, if you feel like the Lord is leading you, would you raise your hand and say, I need to recommit my life to Jesus? I'm just going to take a moment. And this is just a time where we say, you know what? When we do take these elements, we're serious about it. We're serious about coming to him in terms of forgiveness. We're serious about us living for him. And if anything's not right, we want to get right. In fact, Paul in 1 Corinthians says this. He says that if you have aught with a brother, if you're holding an offense in your heart, don't take communion. Because guess what? The whole church of Corinth was divided. Jesus was like, hey, you guys need to hold on communion for a little bit because you're such a divided church. You're so hurtful to one another. You're so doing corrupt things. If you're in a state of offense, you need to not. And pretty much that whole church could say, we're not taking communion today until I make it right. And Paul was talking about unity through the whole book of 1 Corinthians. If there's an area that you need to make right, maybe you need to be bold enough to say, hey, I'm not going to take this grape juice or this bread. Or maybe when it comes time for us to take it, you withhold because you need to make something right with somebody that you've offended or somebody that's offended you. And, you know, it doesn't mean that you can never take communion again. It means that Paul was talking about unity, and he was talking about don't act like you're unified when you're not unified. Don't act like you're together when you're not together. This sermon really is about offense, and it's about this aspect of being careful to not offend those others, but to show love and to show sacrifice towards them. And so just think on that. Would you just pray for a little bit here? Would you thank him for his sacrifice? Thank him for his great love. Hallelujah. And we're going to take the bread first. As we know, if you guys look at this bread, you can see piercings in it. And it's a representation that Jesus was pierced for us, right? He was pierced for our transgressions. He was wounded for our iniquities. Chastisement upon him brought us peace. And so the bread represents, again, unleavened bread, and it represents his body. Would you take the bread? Let's take it together. And then we hold in our hands what represents the blood, right? That Jesus poured out his blood. He died for you and me and rose from the dead. And he died for us to pay a penalty that we could not pay. And he loved us that greatly. Let's take the cup together. Jesus, we thank you for your great love. We thank you that you died for us, that you rose again on Calvary. And we thank you for your great sacrifice today. God, help us to fish. And help us to know that you can coordinate the circumstances. And God, all we need to do is step out and be obedient. Help us to be bold and courageous. Give us the words that we need, God. Help us to speak where we need to speak, and help us not to speak when we do not need to speak. Help us to use your wisdom, O God. Help us to bring others to the light. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, God bless you. Can you guys give a hand to the kids for acting so good during family service? Fantastic, fantastic. Well, the Lord bless you. Altars are open. You guys have a fantastic day.